Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Mid-December, and it's almost cold enough to snow. I have a scarf around my neck and my jacket collar is turned up against the wind as I take one of my brooding strolls through the graveyard of Dunhill Cemetery. My neighborhood. The only one I remember, anyway. I don't have much of my memory back. Just traces. Echoes. One of those echoes is a general sense of how I feel about Christmas and about winter. I'm right outside Mr. Kellner's cottage on the cemetery grounds now. His truck is parked outside, but his son Mason's old Camaro isn't here. Mr. Kellner must have taken it to the hospital. He visits Mason every day. There's a kind of sad, homely string of Christmas lights draped around the periphery of the house, unplugged in the daytime. I glance around to make sure no one's watching before I pull out the key Mr. Kellner gave me. There's this crescendo leading up to Christmas, this sense of excitement, which is so strange because after the holiday, winter truly takes hold. We're supposed to build up to this jubilation, and then the new year arrives, and it's nothing but quiet and rot and depression. Consciously hug my arms around myself as I stare out the window at the bleak day I just left outside. It's just me and the late Mrs. Kellner's cockatoo in the house. They say Nero fiddled while Rome burned. The holidays are like that. We throw these huge parties and we laugh and we sing and all the while, we know. Death is coming.
Graphic Audio presents Cemetery Girl by Charlene Harris and Christopher Golden. Performed by Emlyn McFarland, Chris Stinson, Andy Brownstein, Nick DePinto, Elizabeth Jernigan, David Jordan, Zeke Alton, J.W. Roan, Lily Beacon, Lawrence Redmond, David Harris, Jacob Yeh, Matthew Bassett, Lolita Horn, Todd Schofield, Tony Nam, Barbara Pinolini, and Kimberly Gilbert. Graphic Audio sound design by Nathaniel Perry. Directed and adapted for Graphic Audio by Richard Rowan. Cemetery Girl, Book 3, Haunted.
You know, I don't really need this wheelchair. I can actually walk all right.
You had a knife in your belly, young man, and the docs did a fine job of patching you up. But you go showing off for the girls, and you're liable to tear them sutures open, and they'll have to sew you up all over again.
I'm not gonna show off.
I got the chair, Cynthia. A fool is what you are, arguing with Nurse Cynthia when she took such good care of you. If you're not in a ton of pain now, it's only 'cause she's got you doped to the gills.
Don't pay him any mind, Cynthia. He's just flirting with you.
You listen to your father, Mason. He's a wise man.
Remember, Dad, if I'm a fool, it's only because I had a good teacher.
I thought your car would be easier to climb into, son.
Thanks. Where's...
She's waiting at the house.
Excuse me, Mr. Kellner.
I told you to stay away.
I'm not here to talk to you, sir. I'd like to speak with the younger Mr. Kellner.
I've already talked to you, Mr. Salazar.
Just a few more questions.
We've answered enough of your ridiculous questions about the ghost of Dunhill Cemetery.
Mr. Kellner, you want me to call security?
Don't bother, Cynthia. We're leaving. Thanks for everything.
You're welcome.
Three cops have told me that kids arrested in the cemetery talked about a girl they chased. Called her the ghost.
Those same kids knifed a girl.
Easy, son.
You believe scum like them?
I got the chair, Mr. Kellner.
Thanks again, Cynthia.
You take care now.
We're done here, Salazar.
You gentlemen just don't get it. I mean the girl well.
You don't get it, Salazar. There's no such thing as ghosts.
Someone's pulling into the driveway. That's Mason.
Hey, you got released.
Yeah, they kicked me out.
Let's get you inside.
Mason's leaning heavily on his dad as they hobble up to the house. Mason looks so pale. I hadn't realized he'd be so weak. And the woman who stabbed him was trying to kill me. My fault? No. But it sure feels like it.
Calexa, I left Mason's bag in the back seat. Could you fetch it for us?
Of course.
Let's hold off telling her about Salazar for now. Girl's got enough on her mind.
Fine by me, but Dad, who could that guy be working for?
I don't know. Worries me.
We've got other bad news. Enough for today.
True enough. And that sure upsets me.
What upsets you?
I'll be back. Gotta open the gates for the Dryden funeral.
What's going on, Mason? Is it... Are you hurt worse than...
No, nothing like that.
What then?
I've got to sit out this semester. Doctor's orders. My dad's not real happy about it.
But your scholarship.
Coach came to see me. I'd be redshirted this season anyway. Kinda missed old stupid bird. So, anyway, a medical leave of absence just makes sense.
I walk over to the birdcage, mainly because I can't look Mason in the eyes right now.
So, you'll keep your scholarship?
Yeah, and I have until summer to get completely healed. Where are you going?
I have to walk.
Calexa, it's too cold.
Before I even realize it, my walk becomes full-out flight. Running away is second nature to me these days, I guess. I've lived long enough with the dead now that I don't always know what to say to breathing people. Ever since I was dumped here in Dunhill Cemetery and died for a few seconds, I don't know who I am or who wanted me gone for good. I'm home in my crypt again. And it is home for me, sad as that is, more than anywhere else I can remember. I've been mostly living out here since I woke up at the bottom of the hill. My friend Lucinda died and left me her house, but that's complicated. I can't stay there now. I've got plenty of warm blankets and scavenge stuff, but soon it's gonna be too cold to sleep out here.
What am I supposed to do then?
Since they started trying to look out for me, Mason's been stabbed, his father's been questioned by the police, and Lucinda. Poor Lucinda.
I'm just bad luck.
It's 2 weeks later. It's my third time through the old paperback that I'm reading by lantern light. My library's kinda limited.
It's a little clumsy turning pages with gloves on, but easier than it would be with numb fingers. Christmas is days away. I know that should mean something to me. I was hoping it would trigger fresh memories, but nothing. All it really means is that it's too freaking cold to sleep out here anymore, even with 3 layers of clothing on. I've tried to limit my stays at Kellner's place, a night or a meal every now and then, but now I don't know what to do. I don't want to cause them any more trouble. Someone's outside the crypt.
Mason! What are you doing out here?
If you won't come to me, then I've got to come to you.
He's using a cane and looks a bit shaky.
Here, sit down.
I pull out my cast-off desk chair for him.
I don't mind if I do. We have to talk.
I'm listening.
Yesterday, we had a visitor at the house. Martine Salazar. Ring a bell?
Not even a little one.
We've been sort of holding off talking to you about him, my dad and I. This Salazar guy, he came to see me in the hospital.
Your father mentioned a man tried to see you, but he said the nurse wouldn't let him in.
Well, he got in eventually.
What did he want?
He's looking for you.
What? Why didn't you tell me?
Because at first, he was just asking if we'd seen the ghost of Dunhill Cemetery. We figured he was working for some crazy tabloid or something.
Okay, but this time?
This time, he showed us a picture.
A picture?
A picture of you.
Did he tell you my name?
What? No. I would have come to tell you right away.
So something spooked you?
Yes. Why doesn't he tell the cops? And why doesn't he tell us who you are? I mean, who loses a girl and doesn't report it?
Good question. He's looking really pale and worn now. Come on, Mason. We need to get you back home. I walk back to the house with Mason, taking it slow as we walk past the tombstones and small monuments. He leans heavily on the cane with every other step. He's not a reporter? You sure?
No. A PI. I checked online. He used to be a cop. The question is whether whoever hired Salazar wants to help you.
Or hurt me. Just what I was thinking.
Thing is, if he gets suspicious enough, he could just come over the wall some night.
Or drive in when there's a funeral.
Yeah. And it's too cold for you out here.
But if I stay long term at your place,
it increases the chances he'll come back while you're there. Yeah.
Mason leans on a stone cross to catch his breath.
But our house is better than out here.
Come on, just a little way. You need to get inside. We're in the house now. Mason is in a chair, holding a mug of the tea I made for us. His feet are propped up.
So much better.
Yeah.
Calexa, you just can't stay out there anymore.
Hold on, Mason. I think I get to decide where I stay.
Calexa, I'm...
See you soon, Mason. Keep getting better. I'm in my crypt again, my thickest blanket wrapped around my huddled, heavily clothed body. I'm wearing gloves, a ski cap, and a hood pulled over that. Mason and Kellner are right about one thing. It's weird this Salazar guy doesn't tell them my name. I exhale a cloud of vapor. Mason was right about another thing, too. I just didn't want to admit it to him. Too damn cold for me to sleep out here. I keep this up, I'll be dead for real. I look at the weathered business card that Lucinda left me a while back. The closest payphone is outside the Quick Mart.
I'm nameless, but I made myself a name. I don't know my family, but I've created one. Lucinda, Mr. Kellner, Mason. And I'm homeless, but I have a house. If I can figure out a way to use it.
Law Office of Harold Griggs, Martha Reynolds speaking.
This is Calexa Rose Dunhill. I was a friend of Lucinda Cameron's.
Could you hold just a moment, Miss Dunhill? It's her, on the phone, right now.
Miss Dunhill, I'm glad you've called back. We were worried about you.
That's kind of nice to hear.
Can we set a time for you to come in and talk to me?
Yes, I'm ready to do that. Earlier the better.
How does tomorrow morning at 8:30 sound?
Okay. That's fine.
Very good. I look forward to meeting you, Miss Dunhill.
You haven't gotten here that early in 10 years.
It's the only time I had free. And she sounds like she's in trouble.
We just can't leave her out there.
We can't force her either.
I don't know, Dad. Temperature's really gonna drop tomorrow night. Word is, we could have a hell of a snowstorm. I'm not gonna sit in here safe and warm with her out there.
No. Yeah, I guess I'm not either. If she doesn't come to her senses tonight, we'll go and talk to her in the morning.
I'm bundled up under all the blankets I have and wearing just about all the clothes I have, too. That private detective. Someone paid him to find me, just like I always hoped. And now I'm afraid to know who hired him. Someone who loves me, or the person who tried to kill me. Going to see Mr. Griggs seems like the only choice, but I'm so scared. So scared. And so, so cold.
She's not in there.
This is her home. Where could she have gone? Do you think she slept at Lucinda's?
I don't know, Mason. Maybe.
Wait. You don't think Salazar caught up to her, do you?
I don't know, son. I just don't know.
Thank you, Martha.
It's 8:35.
She'll be here.
Maybe that's her. Good morning. Are you Calexa Dunhill?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, come in, honey. I wasn't sure you were going to make it in.
Neither was I.
Cold this morning, isn't it? Right through here.
It's been cold all night.
Then let me get you a cup of coffee or tea.
Tea, please.
Miss Dunhill, please have a seat.
I can't take my eyes off that plate of donuts on Mr. Griggs' desk.
You look hungry. Please help yourself. It'll give me an excuse to have one.
Okay, thanks.
Here's your tea, dear. I'll be at my desk if you need anything else.
So Mr. Griggs waits, patiently nibbling at a powdered sugar donut, as I can't help but devour two of the glazed and gooey kind. I go from famished to almost bloated in record time, and as the tea warms me up, I start to relax.
I can send Martha for some more chocolate filled if you'd like.
Oh, I couldn't eat another bite. Thanks.
Please, tell me a story, Miss Dunhill. How did you get to know Lucinda?
Okay, if you're ready to hear something crazy.
Lucinda was a good judge of character. I'm all ears.
You may change your mind about that, Mr. Griggs.
Because I met Lucinda when I was stealing food from her kitchen. By the time I finish recounting my bizarre story, Griggs is standing, looking thoughtfully out the window. So, that's my history. At least all of it that I remember.
Fascinating. So, what do we know about you?
Not much.
Au contraire. You're well-educated. You're athletic. You've had good dental and medical care, apparently.
Oh. Well, I guess that's true.
That makes it all the more puzzling that you haven't been reported missing.
Maybe I'm from far away?
But you were dumped in Dunhill, by car.
So, that means I can have come from far away?
That's a reasonable assumption. Not very far, in any case. I understand your fears, Calexa, and I promise I'll do everything I can to keep you safe while we start unraveling the mystery of you. If you're to inherit Lucinda's home and estate, we've got to figure out who you really are. But there are some things we can do right away to help you. Martha?
Yes?
Could you come into my office, please? I'm the executor of Lucinda's estate, and she gave me instructions. I'm giving you the keys to the house.
We can... You can just do that? Before you know who I am?
I'll also establish an account for groceries and incidentals. The bills will come here.
I'm on it.
Oh, can I have enough money for a phone?
That's a very good idea. Martha will take care of it.
A telephone?
The most important task is determining your age. Your identity may take a little time, but if we could figure out how old you are...
Couldn't a dentist confirm her age by examining her teeth?
Well, that's an idea, Martha. I'm honestly not sure if it works outside of TV cop shows, but it's worth looking into.
Calexa, I'm going to give you $120 out of petty cash. That's enough for one of those no-contract phones, plus some prepaid minutes. And you should have enough left over for a bite of lunch.
I don't know how to thank you both. Mr. Griggs shakes my hand.
You can thank us by keeping in touch. Lucinda wanted me to look out for you the same way I would for her, and I intend to do just that. When you get your phone, please call Martha and give her your number.
Of course. And thank you so much. I'll be sleeping in a warm bed tonight. And I don't have to worry about where my food is coming from. It's nice to have Kellner and Mason worrying about me, but even better not to have to make them worry anymore.
That's 7104.
Here you go. Thanks so much. I have a phone.
Yeah. Merry Christmas.
You too. For the first time, it does feel like Christmas. I feel like a real person. And I know where I'm going next. I ate donuts at Griggs's office, but what I'm really craving for lunch is a Big Al burger. It's busy since it's lunchtime, so I hustle over to get in the order line.
I'm looking for a missing girl. She's in her teens. Hard to tell by the photo, but her hair's sort of reddish.
Oh, you have got to be freaking kidding me. I lean out from behind the woman in front of me. There's a broad-shouldered, brown-skinned man with a goatee at the front of the line. He's showing a photo to Big Al. Is this the guy looking for me? Al notices me leaning out, and I shake my head furiously at him.
Sorry, mister. Haven't seen her.
Oh, that's strange.
I scurry over to a booth.
Every teenager in the area comes into this place. I've been watching.
Don't mean a look at him.
Right. I'm leaving you my card.
I pull my hood up over my head as the man walks by me toward the door. I hunch over.
Call me if you see her.
Right.
Oh my God.
I'll take your order, ma'am.
If this guy is the one the Kellners mentioned, Salazar, he's definitely getting more determined. I just wish I knew who he was working for.
Hey, girlie. He's gone.
It's a double cheese with pickles and onions, right?
You don't remember my face, but you know what I usually order?
You know, he seems like an all right guy, this private detective.
I don't know what he wants from me. And I'm afraid that...
You don't have to explain, darling. You seem like a good kid, and I'm not going to make any trouble for you. But I always thought you looked like you could use a friend. Tell you what. You want? You can meet the guy here. Find out what he wants. I'll watch out for you.
Let me think on it, okay? But maybe. And hey, I never paid you.
You can pay when you're done. Take all the time you need.
It's mid-afternoon as I stand on the sidewalk outside Lucinda's house. The dog gives me an idle sniff as he passes by, but his middle-aged owner doesn't even seem to notice me. Oh, Lucinda. When I woke up in the cemetery without any memory, Lucinda Cameron was the first person to offer me kindness. Her friendship helped me start forging a new life. Then she was killed by a greedy neighbor over a property dispute. The first time we ever met, I was stealing from her, and now she's left her house to me. I'm inheriting her estate. I miss you so much, Lucinda. But this is an amazing feeling. Oh, Lucinda, I owe you everything. I get right to work. Whoa! Something does not smell right here. I clean out the refrigerator, checking expiration dates, and end up pitching almost everything. Garbage pickup is tomorrow, I think. Over the next few hours, I change the sheets on the bed, sweep up the kitchen, shake out some throw rugs, go through the kitchen cupboard shelves, do a thorough vacuuming, and do a little rearranging of the furniture. Perfect. It's me! I have a telephone! Well, can you and your dad come over and see? Hey! Welcome to my house!
Never thought I'd hear that.
I've already got the door open as Mason and Mr. Kellner are coming up the walkway. Mason seems to be getting around a little easier. I'm eager to show them around the house. Though I see little reminders of Lucinda everywhere. A pair of reading glasses, a copy of Good Housekeeping on the coffee table. It's a bittersweet feeling as we all sit down in the cozy, grandmotherly living room and I get them up to speed on all that's happened to me today. We sip the tea that I brewed while I waited for them to arrive. I think that's everything Mr. Griggs said.
So, I guess we won't be seeing you anymore.
Are you kidding? Who's gonna help me fix the leaky faucet upstairs? Who's gonna recommend a good home inspector?
Interesting you should think of a house inspection. Good idea. How about I take a look at this leaky faucet?
Great. Can you handle these stairs, Mason?
Sure. Gotta see the house.
Now we're all close together in the small bathroom. Mason leaning against the door jamb. Mr. Kellner has the doors to the sink vanity open as he inspects the plumbing.
Should be easy enough to fix. I can get my tools, but...
Let's check the garage. I'm sure I've got whatever you'll need. Oh my God, that's so weird to say.
I gotta tell you, Calexa, you've got a killer smile. It's great to see you happy.
And it's great to see you motoring under your own steam, more or less. He really does have very nice eyes. If you can manage a trip to the market, I thought I'd make you two some dinner tonight. How does chicken marsala sound?
I'd say that sounds just about perfect.
Mr. Kellner wipes his hands on a rag with a peculiar expression on his face.
Mason can drive down to the store while I'm fixing this sink.
Salazar's going into the morgue.
No shit. I can read the sign.
You think this means the girl is dead?
I damn well hope not. We'd lose our payday.
So, what do we do?
Wait till he comes back out again.
It's not her.
Ah, damn it. I was sure this time. I'm gonna collect that money eventually.
What? You're hoping for more dead girls?
Oh, you know that ain't what I meant.
Yeah, I know what you meant. Just remember, Harry, you keep this to yourself or you don't get a dime, even if you do find the girl.
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, this just isn't working. All these dead girls, no names, murdered, overdosed, abandoned, but none of them is her. I should be saying thank God for that, I guess, but I can't decide what will be worse. Finding her dead, or never finding her at all.
Here we go.
From the look on his face when he came out, I don't think she was in there.
I'm gonna hang back some. We know where he's going, and we can't risk him spotting us. The man's good at his job.
The sun is setting as I emerge from my crypt with an armload of clothes and books.
Here, let me take some of that.
Yeah, thanks. Mr. Kellner is helping me carry stuff back to my new home. I hated to leave Mason at the house.
He's not much for hobbling around right now, but he'll do a fine job cutting up mushrooms for your Marsala. Try not to miss him too much.
What's that mean?
Don't worry, sweetheart. He's been watching you the very same way you've been watching him.
I haven't been watching him.
Nothing wrong with it, Calexa. Kind of sweet, if you ask me.
You're not going to say anything to him, are you?
Not a word. There's no telling what the future holds, but us older folks have to keep out of the way and let you young people figure it out for yourselves.
Mason's chopping up vegetables when we get back. His cane is leaning against the counter.
Welcome home.
Thanks. Well, you kept yourself busy.
I did.
We're having salad, I see.
You like salad?
I'd like salad. I notice Mr. Kellner standing there, slyly smiling at the two of us, some of my clothes draped over his forearm. I abruptly look down at what I'm carrying. Oh my God, am I blushing? It feels like I'm blushing. I'll just, I'll dump this stuff upstairs and you can just put that bunch anywhere, Mr. Kellner, and I'll get it later.
All right.
What's got her all flustered?
I haven't a clue, son. Not a one.
Good morning, Martin.
Good morning, Rosie.
It looks like rain. I wish it would snow.
The weatherman says you're going to get your wish. We don't get a lot of major snowstorms around here, especially this early in the winter. But it looks like a big one. How's he doing?
The nurse says he's lucid. Go on up.
Thanks, Rosie.
Martin, hi. Is Dad keeping you busy?
There's always something to do.
I don't think he needs to be worried right now.
He calls, I report. He's my boss, Isabel.
He won't be for much longer.
Then I'll be working for someone else.
That someone's gonna be me.
He's waiting, Mr. Salazar.
I'll be down the hall if you need me, Tucker.
Fine. Shut the door.
Mr. Dabney, how are you doing?
Dying, as you can see. What news?
No one matching her description is in any morgue or any hospital in this state. So now I'm asking questions about any story I hear, no matter how weird.
Keep looking.
It would help if I could explain to people why I'm looking.
No! You know this, Martine. No one can know she's missing. I won't have this in the press where the world can see what's become of me.
Mr. Dabney, why not involve the police? So many more eyes looking. They could work it quietly.
I don't trust anyone not on my payroll.
So your pride is more important than your daughter?
Watch your tone, son.
Look, what if I bribed a cop to look into it, paid him to share information only with us?
No one more crooked than a cop on the take. No.
Excuse me. I need to take Mr. Dabney's vitals.
You can come in. Well, Mr. Dabney, this damned ghost story at Dunhill Cemetery is the last lead to follow. If that's nothing, then I'm at a dead end.
Go after it, Martine. Hurry.
It won't be long before I'm a ghost.
Isabel?
I wasn't eavesdropping. I thought I heard him call, but I guess not.
Was he calling for me?
He's just losing patience with Salazar. Salazar's going to be leaving in a minute. Follow him. Grab her if you see her. Don't screw this up, McKee.
I pick up the pace as I approach the Kellner house late in the afternoon. The clouds overhead look ready to open up at any moment, and it's cold enough to snow. I hustle through the back door and into the kitchen.
I have to talk to this girl, or you must see that.
Someone I don't know is in the living room. I creep lightly to the edge of the kitchen archway, drop low, and peek out. I bite down on my reaction as I recognize the man I saw in line at Big Al's.
Who do you work for?
I can't tell you.
Why are you trying to find her?
I can't tell you that either.
What can you tell us then?
Look, all I can say is that I am on her side. I've been looking for her for months.
But why aren't there flyers out?
Why no stories in the media?
Yes, detective. Why?
Mr. Kellner, just answer one question for me.
Let's hear it.
Have you ever seen the girl in the picture I showed you?
And if we have,
then I can help her.
Stupid bird's outburst sends me recoiling into the kitchen table.
Oh, damn it!
Who's that?
Relax, Mr. Salazar. It's just Rick, the groundskeeper. He knows where I keep my Hydrox cookies.
You expect me to believe that?
Unless you want to call me a liar. But I wouldn't recommend it.
Dad?
Son of a bitch! It's really you!
Shit!
Finally!
There's another car parked on the cemetery road in front of me. And two men have just popped out of it and are running toward me.
Leave me alone!
They're fast. The red-faced man with the crooked nose grabs the back of my hair.
Sorry, honey. We've been hunting you too long.
Did you guys hear that? It sounded like a scream.
Yeah, maybe it's Rick the groundskeeper.
Mason! Mr. Kellner, I need you!
Hey! Hey! It doesn't have to be like this.
I'm fighting for my life, but there are two of them, and they're wrestling me toward the car. I plant my boots against the car's doorframe.
No!
Ow, shit! Get her in the car! Jesus, she's just a damn girl!
Mr. Kellner! Help me!
Stop! Let her go!
Leave the girl alone, you bastards!
Go, go, go!
Damn, it's really her.
How did this happen?
This is you! You must have led them here!
Are you... If you'd just been honest with me, I'd... I can't do this now. I've got to go after her.
You do what you want. I'm calling the police.
No. You want to get her back in one piece? Give me 2 hours to get this sorted out, to get her back. You don't hear from me by then. You call in every cop in the state.
Oh my God, Dad, what the hell do we do?
Depends if we believe him.
Crazy thing is, I think I do.
I feel like I'm gonna throw up as I hunch over in the backseat of their car. The black guy with the beard stubble is driving. The broken nose guy is next to me, holding a gun on me now.
Sorry about that, honey, but you had to do it the hard way.
You've gotta let me out.
You're a smart girl. You gotta know I can't do that.
I gaze out the window as we pass by a single restaurant next to a gas station. It started to snow. There are mountains in the distance and forested foothills very close. We're definitely moving away from town, not toward it. Nat comes on quickly, as if to help hide these men and what they've done. I'm more worried about what they intend to do next.
So are you gonna tell me who you are? Or what you want with me?
Don't pull that shit. You know me.
I don't have the first clue who you are. I don't remember you.
I can see the driver's eyes frowning at me in the rearview mirror.
What?
I don't even remember myself. So I sure as hell don't remember why you tried to kill me in the first place or dump me back in that cemetery.
You're not kidding, are you?
You've got a gun in your hand. Does this seem like a time when I would be kidding about pretty much anything?
It doesn't matter, man. The job's the job.
I know that. Don't you think I know that? For the record, though, honey, whatever happened to you before, it wasn't us who done it.
I don't understand. You weren't the ones who gave me the drugs? Who put me in the trunk?
Nah, I don't mess with drugs.
So, what are you gonna do with me now?
What we've been paid to do.
You're gonna kill me, aren't you?
Not if you don't piss us off. You're worth plenty alive.
Yes, I saw her. But one of the guys who hauled her away, he looked an awful lot like Ross McKee, your friend from security.
I don't remember any McKee.
Is that so? I heard you two were involved, that you spent weekends in the mountains together.
Like I care what my dad's personal thug thinks.
Yeah, well, this thug thinks that the guy you don't remember is taking her to your cabin.
To our family cabin on Mount Eben?
Exactly. I'm dropping back now because I don't want them to spot me, but given the route, that's got to be where they're headed. I don't know how they found her. McKee's company's security, but he doesn't seem smart enough to hack my files. Has the old man gotten a ransom call? You still there?
Sure. No, not that I know of. Martine, bring her back to me.
That's the plan.
If I get a ransom demand, I'll call right away. Come in.
He's asking for you. I don't know how much longer he's got.
Tell him I'm coming. I've got a call to make.
All right.
Is there something else?
Do you think she's still alive?
No, I really don't. And you shouldn't be getting his hopes up.
The snow is really coming down now, swirling over the road.
Why didn't anyone look for me?
We did.
Until recently, I mean. Till this guy Salazar started poking around. I didn't think anyone was trying to find me. And when he showed up, it spooked me. Guess I should have talked to him, huh?
Yeah?
Salazar called me. He's on your trail.
He knows where the cabin is?
My father had Salazar bring him up there after the last round of chemo. Part of his farewell tour, I guess. He could really fucked up for us.
You're breaking up, Isabel. Snow's coming down real hard now. But don't worry. We'll take care of Salazar. Hey, listen. Which batch of this stuff did you give her?
The fourth trial. Why?
She's actually lost her memory. Seriously. That shit worked better than the lab ever imagined.
None of that that matters now. Just call me when it's done.
Who's Isabel?
You don't need to know.
Who am I?
You really don't remember?
You've gone this long without knowing. You can go forever.
You said you kidnapped me for ransom. So tell me this much. Who'd pay?
Weirdly, lots of people.
Like Isabel?
Isabel wouldn't pay a dime for you. Not alive, anyway.
Isabel? I see the syringe plunging into my arm. Why would you... The shadows fall away, and for the first time, the face becomes clear.
Hold still, bitch.
Isabel, why did she do this to me? Who is Isabel to me? You know. Please just tell me that much. At least just tell me what my real name is.
Aw, poor baby. Doesn't have a name.
Why won't you tell me?
It'd be a waste of our breath.
We're here.
We've pulled up in front of a rustic-looking cabin, but it's clearly designed to look that way. The mountain cabin of a rich family. There's already a couple of inches of snow on the ground, and it's still coming down. Not that I believed them in the first place. Not really. But it's pretty obvious now.
Come on, girl.
There's no ransom plan.
Please! You don't have to do this!
The black man lifts a shovel from the trunk. That's a really bad sign.
We do if we want to get paid.
They're going to kill me here.
No!
The broken-nosed man shoves me to the snow-covered ground.
Don't give me any trouble, bitch.
I get to one knee as the man with the shovel comes to stand next to his partner.
Why are you doing this?
You out of the way. Isabel's got a clear path. She'll own everything free and clear.
Own what? I don't even know what you're talking about.
I actually think I believe you, kid. Shame of it is, we gotta kill you anyway.
I lunge at the man holding the shovel, putting my shoulder into his gut, slamming him against the car. I grab the shovel handle like a fighting staff and twist, smashing the handle into his mouth. His head snaps back, and he lets go. Without even looking, I swing the shovel blade like a baseball bat back at the other thug.
You stupid girl!
It makes a satisfying sound as it clocks him in the skull. His gun drops, and he falls to his knees. For a second, I just stare in shock. What do I do now?
Shit, man!
Go after her, you idiot!
Where'd she go? Follow her tracks! Go after her! Come on, kid! You know how this is gonna end!
You got lucky, little girl, but rich girl self-defense classes are only gonna get you so far.
Rich girl?